I have not always been with you on Thanksgiving. It has often been my family tradition to pile into a car with my parents and my sister and drive to Michigan to share turkey and pie with varying numbers of relatives depending on the year. We're not doing that this year. Of course, we didn't actually do it last year either. Last year, our U.S. family came to Ontario so that we could lay my Uncle Harold's ashes to rest in Simcoe. I was grateful for the graveside service since I had been out of the country and missed his funeral. I was grateful that it was a year when World Communion fell on Thanksgiving because those are the years that I usually miss the family road trip. Funny things to be grateful for, I guess. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. This is the passage I read at my Grandma Chance's funeral almost 20 years ago, right after my cousin read Grandma's eulogy, leaving many people in tears. I had to stand up and say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." A funny time to rejoice, maybe. Or maybe these are always the times in which we find ourselves. I mean, yes, if I'm honest with you, I have struggled with feeling just a little less thankful than usual lately. And sure, we hear the word unprecedented enough that it doesn't really feel very unprecedented anymore. So we know that globally we're living through something new and something hard without a definable endpoint. So there is that. But the act of Thanksgiving always has to swim against the current of our losses, our challenges, our forgetfulness, our taking things for granted. Paul wrote about two women who were leaders in the Philippian church. We don't know the story or how the women would tell it, but it seems that Euodia and Syntyche are in conflict. And Paul urges each of them. He actually repeats the verb, even though it's not necessary. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche, two unique individuals, to have the same mind in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Read together like that, the command to rejoice isn't just a separate personal action, nor is it something to use to brush off talking about our struggles. Instead, to quote Ekaputra Tupamahu of Portland Seminary, these words call the Philippians to a communal atmosphere of joyfully embracing difference. Instead of turning differences into an ugly exclusionary fight, differences are to be welcomed in a joyful way. Euodia and Syntyche are partners in the gospel of Jesus. Even in your differences, rejoice in what you share in Jesus, our Lord. Rejoice that Jesus breaks down dividing walls and builds diverse communities. The Philippians are called to rejoice in the Lord, not to ignore what is hard, but to discover where God can be found in the midst of it. That moment of Zen when you land in a snake den. Isn't it miraculous that such different people would follow Jesus together? And Paul goes on, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Our worries and our requests are real. They are acknowledged here. And they can also become a place in our prayers where God will meet us. Rather than letting our worries hold us hostage or pull us into pieces, the peace of God will be the guard at the door to our hearts and minds. Paul then writes, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, do an accounting of these things. I know the NRSV says think about them, but Paul isn't just saying think nice thoughts. This is actually a call to discernment, to do an assessment of what is true, good, and just, to examine and even test claims to virtue. Remember that the letter to the Philippians has an overarching theme of how to live out one's citizenship in the kingdom of God as a citizen of the world. And those two claims on our allegiance are not always self-evident. As a society, we are being called on to live for the common good in particular ways right now. And it is often hard. It is hard to cancel big family gatherings, or to depend on the weather so we can be outside together, or to not travel where we want to. But we have named as a church that so many of the limitations we are placing on ourselves right now are part of loving our neighbors. We still must do an audit, do an accounting of the claims that come to us. For example, most of the public health guidelines I have heard make some pretty unhelpful assumptions about the 14% or more of Canadians who live alone. But it is not our call to simply throw out the rules we don't want to apply to us, but to do an accounting of what is just and commendable for the holistic health of all. I come finally to Paul's last words in this section, and his last words in the letter before thanking the Philippians for their financial support and then saying farewell. And I think these words are fitting for Thanksgiving. Maybe a slightly more subdued Thanksgiving than some might hope for, but a Thanksgiving in which I hope we can each find a genuine place to dwell this year. Paul writes, "I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Some of you may have come here today just bursting with Thanksgiving gratitude, and others dragging your feet and wondering what you were doing at church. So in kind of a funny way to respond to Thanksgiving, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of confession now. And whatever truth you have to confess today, God welcomes it all. Let's pray. God of the earth, the sky, the sea, we seek to offer you whatever is true. We confess our moments of gratitude, when we have felt awake to your goodness, when we have been alive to your presence. We confess our moments of ingratitude, when our grief has overwhelmed us, when we have demanded to know why. We confess when we have had too little energy, optimism, or hope, too little compassion, grace, or creativity. We confess when we have had plenty to eat, plenty to share, plenty to look forward to, plenty of love, plenty of good health, plenty of second chances. Help us to learn to be content with whatever we have. We trust that we can do all things through the name of Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. Amen.